Support comes from the Ohio State University Comprehensive Cancer Center, James Cancer Hospital, and Solove Research Institute. Just as no two people are exactly the same, neither are their cancers. At the OSU CCC James, there is no routine cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in mid-January announced plans to audit the use of antipsychotics and the rate of schizophrenia diagnoses in targeted nursing homes. The question is whether such medications have been inappropriately prescribed and whether nursing home residents have been improperly diagnosed with schizophrenia to justify the use of the drugs. Associated Press reporter Amanda Seitz has been covering the story. Amanda Seitz, welcome to All Sides.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you for having me. And it's great to be back talking to listeners in Ohio.
Is this sort of targeted auditing unusual?
So this is a new step that the federal government is taking. Audits should be actually underway starting now. And it's not a new issue that the federal government has tried to tackle. They've tried to look at this issue for decades, actually. We found a Senate subcommittee report back in the 1970s that was documenting these problems in nursing homes.
But this strategy of targeted auditing, that's kind of new?
Yeah. So what prompted that is one of the solutions the federal government came up with about a decade ago to try and control the use of antipsychotic medications in nursing homes was they said, okay, we're going to start tracking every time you dispense this medication, and we're going to penalize you if you're giving this medication to patients who haven't been diagnosed with schizophrenia. But nursing homes found a loophole to those oversights. What they did was they started diagnosing patients or coding them as having schizophrenia. And that doesn't show up in the tracking data. It's not something that the federal government has penalized before. So this new approach is a response to nursing homes that have started just coding patients as schizophrenic. And if that's become a really big problem, we've seen a dramatic increase in the number of residents that have been diagnosed with schizophrenia.
A physician has to do the diagnosis, right?
So there's a couple ways the patients can be coded as schizophrenic, actually, or they could receive a diagnosis as well. So the actual coding is what leads to this not being tracked in the CMS system.
So they can just code someone without a diagnosis.
Correct. And that's part of what this audit will look at, is they're going to be searching for proper documentation that the diagnosis was correct, that the coding was correct, too, that there's something there, that there's documents to show that these patients should have been coded that way.
So if someone's coding somebody without a legitimate diagnosis, isn't that unethical?
Well, certainly, I think a lot of people would argue that that is. And it's, and again, it's been, you know, a problem that has been raised repeatedly. So what the federal government plans to do is to, you know, tell these nursing homes to stop that behavior. They will be penalized through the rating system that's publicly available for anyone to take a look at. It'll note if there's a pattern of this type of behavior at a nursing home, it'll note in their rating system. However, they won't face any fines. They might face some further action by state investigators, but there won't necessarily be any further action beyond at this time beyond a reduction in their rating.
I guess I'm trying to get at the individual culpability of a physician that does this. I mean, if it was somebody outside of the nursing home industry that was misdiagnosing people on purpose to code them so that they can drug them and sedate them, that would be unethical on the outside, right?
Certainly. And it's, you know, we don't see this as far as the coding goes. This is not something that we that is just a problem inside nursing homes either. Right. I mean, you'll see even that's an issue that's been raised at CMS recently with insurance companies, maybe coding patients inaccurately for having a more severe illness than they actually do in order to unlock additional Medicare payments from the federal government as well. So this is kind of a problem that we see in other areas as well that the federal government is attempting to crack down on.
You are listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Amanda Seitz. She's a Associated Press reporter covering healthcare policy and federal health agencies. And we're talking to her because the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services last month announced plans to begin auditing the use of antipsychotics and the rate of schizophrenia diagnoses in targeted nursing homes. If you have a question or comment about this issue, if you've been had your own experience with this with a loved one, relative, whatnot, give us a call. Tell us your story, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. How did the Health and Human Services Inspector General report last November play into this issue?
So certainly the report turned up some really concerning findings. Again, the federal government had tried to crack down on this issue by saying, okay, if you prescribe these medications, we're going to start tracking you, we're going to ding you on your rating. And what the OIG looked at was how diagnoses changed as a result of that oversight. And they found some nursing homes had as much as a 20%, they were reporting 20% of their residents or more had schizophrenia. And that's just a totally improbable number for a disease that only impacts 1% of the population. And the OIG recommended that HHS take some further steps to really crack down on this behavior. You know, I should also note that this behavior was, according to the OIG, really concentrated too in nursing homes, that they found about 100 nursing homes were coding patients in this very dramatic way and had increased how the patients were coded. And HHS will also take a very targeted approach. They're going to go to, they're going to be auditing nursing homes that have seen this significant increase and where a lot of patients are coded this way.
You said it's concentrated in about 100 nursing homes. That's out of thousands and thousands of nursing homes across the country. Is there any common denominator among those 100 or so?
So the OIG didn't release specific facilities. That said, if you're concerned about your loved one of the things that you can do is visit the CMS website, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and you can take a look at your the facility that your loved one might be in or even your own facility and see if they have been flagged for the this behavior in the past. And then the findings from audits, once they see that a nursing home has a pattern of this behavior of miscoding patients with schizophrenia, those will also start to come out in that rating system as well.
If you have a relative or loved one in a nursing home that's been diagnosed with schizophrenia and you're not sure, I mean, you question that, what can you do?
So this was one of the, probably for people who have a loved one in a nursing home, this was one of the most concerning things about how HHS will approach this new strategy. Is they're not going to alert, you know, say an emergency contact or a loved one if their loved one has been improperly coded. The only way that you can really find out is by scouring through these rating systems. So unfortunately, there's, you know, not a lot of recourse unless you call up the nursing home and ask directly and maybe ask to speak to their doctor as well.
All right. Yeah. So you can call up a nursing home and you can ask to see the diagnoses, to see, you know, the paperwork on this?
That's what HHS recommended, is that if you see that your maybe the nursing home where your loved one is staying has been cited for this type of behavior in the rating system, that you could make a call and try to talk to some of the administrators there.
Why don't they want to alert people if they find an inaccurate or inappropriate diagnosis?
So they said that it's not that they don't want to. It's said that they said that it's a resource issue, that this these audits are already very underfunded, that this is something they've wanted to take on for years, but they just don't have the money and resources to do so.
I don't know whether you can answer this or not, but what I've been curious about all along is these drugs are ostensibly being used to sedate, not necessarily treat a mental illness, but to sedate. Aren't there other sedatives out there besides antipsychotic drugs? We're talking about very frail older people.
Correct. Yes. And that is the reason that we're seeing nursing homes do this, is that they, especially with patients with dementia, where they might become physical, they might become out of control. You have kind of two issues going on there, right? Is that these patients, again, might become physical, and then you have a severe staffing shortage in nursing homes throughout the country, and they're turning to this as an easy solution in order to sedate those patients. You know, experts I talked to said that one of the alternatives might be that they found that has a lot of success might be therapy for these residents, especially music therapy, making their rooms a little bit more homey and feeling like home. But that takes a lot of money, time, and resources. And we know that that's something that's in really short supply in nursing homes across the country right now, especially those that have been bought up by private equity firms and big companies.
Let's see, let's take a quick call from Francis in Columbus. Francis, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. My question is, if why are nursing homes giving medication to a patient who doesn't even have what the medication is for? What's the point?
What's the point? Okay.
Yeah, and again, the point would be that they're hoping to sedate the resident again if they become maybe unruly, if they are hard to control. Maybe they're, you know, one of the things that we don't know is we don't know how much this problem increased during the COVID-19 pandemic. And I know experts I talked to are really concerned that it only got worse because residents needed to stay in their rooms because there was this very viral, deadly virus going around and spreading quickly in nursing homes. So there's concern that staff turn to these antipsychotics in order to further sedate residents and keep them in their rooms.
Thanks, Francis, for that question. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And you're saying that the consequences is if a nursing home is found to be inaccurately diagnosing residents with schizophrenia, it's just going to get a check mark on their scorecard, and it could bring their ratings down.
Yes, and HHS, you know, the federal government says that this is a really enticing first step to take, just because a lot of people do look at these rating systems before they place the loved one or before they go to one of these nursing homes. And if someone pulls up this data and sees that this nursing home has a history of misdiagnosing patients, giving them medications that they should not be, that's certainly going to be a turnoff, and it's going to affect their bottom line, which is of great concern. But of course, there is concern that this might not be enough too. On the other hand, I heard experts who have followed this issue and are very concerned about it say they don't want to see nursing homes necessarily fined because that could actually negatively impact the quality of care for the patients there. A lot of these nursing homes are concentrated in lower income areas, and they're concerned that just fining these nursing homes might put them out of business or again, impact the quality of care that they're ultimately delivering to all of their residents.
Going back to that issue about them not alerting loved ones, family members, if a patient is found to be misdiagnosed and also being drugged, what about patients who don't have advocates? Who's looking out for them?
I think that's a really good question, Anne. You know, the doctor, hopefully, that was a question that I raised with HHS, and it's a tough one because, you know, there's not a lot of recourse, unfortunately, for these people. And that's why it's such a big issue, because there isn't a lot of protection for folks who are in the care of these facilities.
Well, Amanda Seitz, one more question, then I got to let you go, but it tends to be diagnoses for people who have some kind of dementia. Is this more prevalent among those people?
That's where you know, I don't know about the diagnoses per se, but that's where we usually see the medication,
the sedation,
the antipsych, yeah,
okay,
used.
And any other patterns like race, gender, anything like that?
Yeah, so again, one of the things that was really interesting is that the uptick in these the coding of schizophrenia really increased in lower income nursing homes concentrated in lower income areas. And then I also talked with a researcher who found that it was also a dramatic increase in Black nursing home residents as well.
Amanda Seitz, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Amanda Seitz is a reporter for the Associated Press. She covers the healthcare policy and federal health agencies. And we've been talking with her because the federal government has started investigating the abuse of antipsychotic medications in nursing homes. They are going to start targeted audits of about 100 nursing homes across the country that have been identified as having a concerning uptick in the diagnosis of schizophrenia and prescribing antipsychotic drugs. We will be right back. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Race might be a hot topic right now, but for so many of us, talking about race is nothing new. On the Code Switch podcast from NPR, we go beyond the headlines and we go deep. Listen now.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Dan Fisher. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in mid-January announced plans to audit the use of antipsychotics in nursing homes. The question is whether such medications have been inappropriately prescribed and whether nursing home residents have been improperly diagnosed with schizophrenia to justify the use of the drugs. Shekinah Fashaw-Walters is an assistant professor in the School of Public Health at the University of Minnesota. She studies improper use of antipsychotics in nursing homes and the racial inequities associated with the practice. Shekinah Fashaw-Walters, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
What was your initial impression of the CMS announcement?
Yeah, I think I would say my initial impression was sort of excitement. I was happy to see. I think this is sort of, in a way, a researcher's dream to see your work really come to life in federal policy. And I had, you know, for some time now, been doing this research and have seen and heard the stories from folks of these experiences. And so I think initially it just felt really good that the federal government is listening, CMS is doing something, and they're taking steps in the right direction.
I mean, they're checking boxes, they're taking names, but that's about it.
Yes, that is very, very true, which is why I say they are taking steps in the right direction. I think it's just a start. And I think this start is really important. I have seen CMS policies very similar to the one that I look at in my paper that's around schizophrenia that are implemented, maybe not in a hasty fashion, but in a way that it has sort of these unintended consequences that we see, such as the schizophrenia diagnoses increasing. And so, yeah, it is just check boxes for now, but I think it's steps in the right direction.
I still don't exactly understand. So there are patients, residents of these places that need to be, they apparently can't control them to one degree or another. Too much is either it's too much hassle or too much work. I don't know. But they're using antipsychotics to sedate them. Why such an extreme tactic? Do you understand that?
Not completely, right? I have some of my own theories. I think antipsychotics, as I think about it, might be sort of a remnant of what nursing homes used to be and how they used to house more and more folks that have serious mental illness. And in some ways, we're seeing that return. And we can see that in the data where there are more folks with SMI that are residing in nursing homes once again. And so I think some of that might be spillover from the way that we used to treat patients. But there are so many new innovations and interventions that have been tested and introduced that I think they really should be using, obviously, other practices other than antipsychotics. But why antipsychotics specifically, I'm not totally sure.
Let's see. Keisha in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Keisha.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to add to the conversation that one of the other tactics that some of the nursing homes are using, along with the schizophrenia and dementia diagnoses, are placing residents on the locked units. And so, you know, there's a lot of residents or patients who are placed on these secure units where they have no access to the community, no access to outside and fresh air. And I think maybe a lot of this has to do with staff shortages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because there's probably just like one staff, one nurse that has to be in the hallway. And, you know, the unit is locked. So, you know, the patients can't get out. So I just wanted to add that.
Okay. Thanks, Keisha. So Shekinah Fashaw-Walters, what about that? Is that, can you talk about the appropriateness of that too?
Yeah, that is also frowned upon a bit, but I think Keisha really got at the root of the issue, which goes back to staffing, which is a continued conversation within this nursing home space. The amount of staffing in a nursing home, how staff are treated, whether there's upward mobility, what's their pay look like, what are their working conditions. So I think that is really sort of the underlying root to what we see. But yes, locked units are also frowned upon. The ideal situation would be to have a more home-like environment, to have enough nurses that if a patient or resident decides to start wandering, that someone can walk along with them, have this conversation, sort of talk them through where they are, really just have that person-first experience. Having that sort of locked unit is more of a let's protect ourselves and keep folks in one space, and oftentimes does result from just not having the right amount of staffing.
Thanks, Keisha, for that call. What about serious mental illness in nursing homes? You said that there's an increase in that. Is that I'm trying to figure out, is that what came first, the chicken or the egg on all of this?
Yeah, so I think there's a mix of, yeah, that is a good, is it the chicken or the egg? I think there's a mix of both happening here. There's some ongoing research that I'm working with a few people here at the University of Minnesota, some researchers, some graduate students, and looking at this more closely. But what we're seeing is that there's sort of the use of these pre-admission screening and resident review program. A lot of this is in Ohio as well. So we have a collaborator that's in Ohio. And we're really trying to understand how folks end up in the nursing home living with serious mental illness, even though they may desire to be other places. And some of that is there are no caregivers that can care for them. But a lot of those folks that we see in the data, they're also younger. And so the issue that we're talking about here, or at least within my own research, is looking at older adults within nursing homes that are being diagnosed with schizophrenia, which is really strange because usually folks are diagnosed at a much younger age.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services last month announced plans to audit the use of antipsychotics in nursing homes. We're talking to Shekinah Fashaw-Walters. She's an assistant professor in the School of Public Health at the University of Minnesota, and she studies the improper use of antipsychotics in nursing homes and the racial inequities associated with that practice. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Amanda Seitz of the Associated Press said that they're looking at about 100 nursing homes, and one of the common denominators is that they tend to be located in low-income areas and treating low-income patients, and there is a disproportionately African-American residents as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for most of the inequities that we see in nursing homes, a lot of it is tied to payment. And so we can classify nursing homes sort of in two tiers. There's this classic paper called Driven to Tears that classifies high quality nursing homes as being those nursing homes with low a low rate of Medicaid beneficiaries. And then those lower quality nursing homes are those with a higher rate of Medicaid beneficiaries, or known as Medicaid reliant. And oftentimes we see those nursing homes within lower income neighborhoods, predominantly Black neighborhoods. A lot of this is driven by racism, residential segregation, just our history in this country of segregating and discrimination. And so those remnants still live within nursing homes today. And I would say the interesting piece about my study, as it's connected to what CMS is doing, is that this particular study I did looked within nursing homes. So within nursing homes, residents were being treated differently on the basis of race and dementia status. We can see these diagnoses increasing more for Black residents with dementia than we do other residents within nursing homes. And the approach that CMS is taking is more of a between nursing home look at those nursing homes that have these higher rates. But I am concerned that then they're going to miss the difference that are happening within different types of nursing homes.
It'll be interesting to have that data on hand, though, will it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's see. Melinda in Dayton, you're on the air. Hi, Melinda.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
I was calling because I actually had my dad in the hospital. He was there for about a month, and they were adamant to give him an antipsychotic, and I kept trying to decline it. I am the power of attorney for his medical, mm-hmm. and they went against my wishes and told me they were going to go against my wishes. And from the period where I was trying to refuse it, we were trying to refuse it, and then they would start it, it would be refused, and they'd start it again. And it was not until they told me they were going to give it, regardless of what I said, and it was like 24 to 48 hours after that, then he was okay to go to the nursing home. But they wanted him, I just felt like they wanted him on that medication before he left.
And why do you think that? I mean, why? What would be the purpose?
Right. That's what I wondered. And that's what I was questioning. And when this came on today, that's why I'm calling, because it wasn't until they did get him on a dose of it before he left the hospital. Like, they were trying to calm him down. They kept telling me they were trying to calm him down and making or helping sleep. And so, like, I asked about maybe some melatonin. Well, they tell me that's not FDA regulated, but they have something else. Well, they put him on the strongest dose of the melatonin medication, which donked him out.
Okay.
It's just he kept going downward when they would put him on those medicines, and because he has Parkinson's, it is totally contraindicated for him to have antipsychotics.
Okay, all right.
But they went against my wishes, the hospital, and did it anyway.
Wow.
Now, when he did get to the nursing home, I was kind of they actually did a very wonderful job because they got him off of it right away.
Okay, all right. Okay, interesting. I mean, you're nodding your head. Shekinah, is this something you've heard before?
Yeah, so this has been a question that a few of us have had about how folks end up on antipsychotics. Some of them leave the hospital on antipsychotics and no one takes the time to actually take them off of those antipsychotics once they get to the nursing home. But as I'm listening to your guest caller speak about this, then that just makes me wonder, okay, well, what's the hospital's relationship with the nursing home? What condition does the patient need to be in order to be accepted at that nursing home? Are they trying to maintain some sort of relationship? I ask very like kind of system level questions like that. So just really interesting to hear that story.
Yeah. Melinda, thanks a lot for that call. Patricia in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Patricia.
Hi. I'm actually walking at Blended Woods, but I wanted to respond to two things that you were talking about. One is about the antipsychotic drugs, because most unfortunately, my husband's grandfather and his father were given Haldol in different places, and it messed them both up.
Is that an antipsychotic?
I think it is, because okay. I have another relative who was diagnosed at a much younger age, like in her 30s, with schizophrenia, and that's what she takes.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a very, very strong drug, should never be given. And I think they gave it to them to keep them quiet. Well, one was in a hospital, one was in a nursing home.
And Patricia, I'm glad you brought up the strength issue, and it's should never, I mean, this is dangerous, is it not, Shekinah? This isn't just about drugging somebody, subduing them, sedating them. This can have deleterious effects on their health.
Absolutely, especially when we're talking about folks living with dementia. I mean, this has been tied to increased falls. This has been tied to death even. So yeah, there are definitely some high risks with using antipsychotics inappropriately.
Patricia, thanks for that call. Let's see, Janet and Heath, you're on the air. Hi, Janet.
Well, good morning, Ann. So here's my question, or I guess maybe it's partly a statement. So everybody keeps saying, well, the nursing home is doing this, the mm-hmm. nursing home is doing that. Well, it's not the building. It's not the orderlies. It's not the people who clean. It's not the equity managers who bought the company. There's a doctor somewhere in
right.
here who's doing. So isn't the AMA doesn't there any oversight or?
Well, No, I'm glad you brought that up again, because I'm still struggling it with myself. When I was talking with the Associated Press reporter, I'm thinking, well, this is unethical if they're doing this. Is it not, Shekinah? I mean, why is it so insulated from what another physician on the outside of the nursing home could be accused of and, you know, have their license threatened over?
Yeah, that's so true, and such a tough question to answer, I think. And like I said, I think about systems levels, and I think the systems are not in place. And I think I heard Amanda say earlier that CMS isn't talking about reporting these to specific patient
right.
families because there isn't sort of the system or structure or capacity to do so. And I think that's just an ongoing issue with nursing homes. I think there are nursing homes that need to be held accountable. There are physicians that need to be held accountable. In some places, nurses that need to be held accountable. But I think also some of this goes back to support, right? When we get into the tiered nursing homes and the reimbursement, it's too low. It's too low for some of these nursing homes to receive the support and have the resources that they need to be successful in providing high quality care. So,
Janet, thanks a lot for that call. And I wonder too about people who don't have an advocate. Who's watching out for them? Like a family member or something like that.
Yeah. So there are ombudsman offices in every state and in different regions of the state, depending on how it's organized. And those are the folks that should be looking out. And I think they're doing their best to. But as I've spoken with some ombudsmen, they say it's sometimes difficult to do their job because they're asking questions, they're pressing, they're saying, let us see the paperwork. But they're also overworked and they're moving through several hundred nursing homes in a given amount of time. So they don't have all the resources they need to do the deep dives. But if that's someone that families want to reach out to, that resource is available to everyone, but it might take some digging to figure out how to use it, unfortunately.
Arlene in Gahanna, is that what you're calling about? The Area Agency on Aging can help in that regard?
Yes, the Area Agency on Aging, then they have an 800 number, and anyone can call them. And as a retired social worker, I've seen them be effective, and they have always followed through. And also, there's an agency that is called APFI, APSI, Advocacy and Protective Services. And if you have a person who has a developmental disability and is in a nursing home, they are great advocates for those individuals who often do not have advocates. And then anyone can call who's made an observation. They don't have to be a relative to place a call.
Okay. Arlene, thank you so much.
Sure.
Shekinah Fasha Walters, going forward, do you have ideas about other questions you want to ask in your research?
Yeah, so I started down this path mainly because I'm interested in colorblind policies or race-neutral policies, those policies that are created with the idea that it's going to improve quality for everyone. And then I start to ask these questions about equity as they relate to race or socioeconomic status or Medicaid participation. And that's when things start to fall apart. It looks like a policy is working. And then as we dig deeper under the hood, we start to realize there are all of these sort of quote unquote unintended consequences. And so that is a lot of my work moving forward, is continuing to pull the thread on some of these policies, hoping to really hold CMS and other parts of our federal government responsible for what they're paying for. If we're paying for folks to have these poor experiences in nursing homes or in home care, then that is really a disservice to all of us. And so my ultimate goal in my work is to make sure older adults are able to age with autonomy and dignity, whether they have dementia or not, whether they're in nursing homes or not. And so that's sort of the pathway that I'm continuing down.
Shekinah Fasha Walters, thanks for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Shekinah Fasha Walters is an assistant professor in the School of Public Health at the University of Minnesota. And as she described, she studies the improper use of antipsychotics in nursing homes and the racial inequities associated with the practice. We have more to come. We're going to be hearing from the executive director of the Ohio Healthcare Association, which represents more than 1,300 long-term care facilities in Ohio. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Race might be a hot topic right now, but for so many of us, talking about race is nothing new. On the Code Switch podcast from NPR, we go beyond the headlines and we go deep. Listen now.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Dan Fisher. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in mid-January announced plans to audit the use of antipsychotics in nursing homes. They're targeting about 100 nursing homes across the country. The question is whether such medications have been inappropriately prescribed and whether nursing home residents have been improperly diagnosed with schizophrenia to justify the use of the antipsychotics. Still with us is Professor Shekinah Fasha Walters at the School of Public Health at the University of Minnesota, where she studies improper use of antipsychotics in nursing homes and the racial inequities associated with that practice. Peter Van Runkle is executive director of the Ohio Healthcare Association, which represents more than 1,300 long-term care facilities in Ohio. Peter Van Runkle, welcome to All Sides.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
What do you know about the number of nursing homes in Ohio that may be targeted in these audits?
We don't really know much of anything at this point. It's just rolled out. We did have a couple of facilities in Ohio that were part of the pilot that they did back at the end of November, early December. So we had kind of a sneak preview of this. But I guess you could say if there's 100, then maybe, you know, we'll end up with five or so, given the larger population of Ohio.
Right. The CMS plans to downgrade the quality ratings of nursing homes found to be that fall into this category of inaccurately diagnosing residents with schizophrenia. Who uses those ratings? We know, I think it was, well, it might have been Shekinah, but also maybe Amanda Seitz of the AP said people do check those ratings. So I'm wondering what the implications are.
If you're asking me,
yes.
the implications are significant, because not only do people, consumers, you know, folks that are looking for a placement for a loved one or for themselves, look at those ratings, but they're also used by managed care companies to determine which facilities are going to be in their network. So, you know, that they could take care of people who have that particular insurance. Those are just a couple of examples, but they're really widely used. It's kind of the coin of the realm in assessing the performance of a particular skilled nursing facility.
I was kind of curious, Shekinah Fosher-Walters, about whether when you're talking about the lower income, the Medicaid-heavy nursing homes out there, do people have that much choice about where they're going to go when they're relying on Medicaid to foot the bill?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think increasingly through the data, we've seen Medicare beds in nursing homes increase and Medicaid beds decrease. So I imagine that that probably does play out in reality where folks have fewer choices, but also there are constraints to choosing nursing homes, including where you live, where your family lives, how close that nursing home is to your house. So there are very practical constraints as well.
And the CMS also said they'd begin publishing citations against nursing homes that are still being disputed. This is something very new. What are your thoughts about that, Peter Van Runkel?
It is new in a sense because, some of these, the citations eventually do end up getting onto the public record once the dispute is over with. But actually, it makes a lot of sense because sometimes those decisions might take a while to get rendered. And so long as there is a notation that this is being disputed, which is CMS has said they were going to do, there's nothing wrong with that.
And do you think that'll help, Shekinah?
I do think that will help. And hopefully, I think it'll have a really positive impact. And I'm thinking about how the star ratings that we see really are about a year, maybe a year and a half behind.
Oh, really?
When that actual quality happens. So it is good to be able to see things in more real time than it being so delayed. So I'm interested in knowing how CMS will adjust the star ratings, given that they're based on past quality records.
You're listening to All Sides. Go ahead, Pete.
I'm sorry, Ann. I'll just throw in a little something there. One of the issues that we have right now, to your point, Shekinah, is that the state in Ohio, at least, is really far behind in doing annual surveys. So the survey portion of the star ratings is really behind. The quality measure part, which is where we get into the antipsychotic piece and lots of other things, really is more up to date because those are updated quarterly based on the most recent data that CMS has. So those are a little bit more up to date, as is the case with the staffing portion of the stars.
Why is
it's the survey that's really really behind?
Well, why is the state so far behind in their surveys?
Well, because they had a significant backlog with when there weren't surveys being done and earlier years of COVID.
Okay.
But also, what they would tell you if they were here is that they have a lot of complaints, and so they prioritized investigating complaints over doing the annual surveys. Now, the complaint findings end up in five-star as well, but they are not those surveys are not comprehensive as an annual survey would be.
I read that the American Healthcare Association and the National Center for Assisted Living, which represent long-term care facilities, I think Ohio Healthcare Association may be a chapter of the American Healthcare Association. They said they wanted CMS to do more to educate doctors. And I'm thinking, don't doctors go to med school? Don't they already know? What more do they need to tell a doctor to do their job?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it really gets to the heart of this antipsychotic issue. And yes, we are the state affiliate of AHCA and Cal. There's been some language, a little loose use of language around this antipsychotic issue, because I think in the press release that came out from CMS, they said something about nursing homes prescribing antipsychotics, and it's like nursing homes. Skilled nursing facilities don't prescribe anything. It's a physician or perhaps a nurse practitioner who is who's entering these prescriptions. So I think when you talk about education, it really has more to do with what CMS expects in terms of documentation for that schizophrenia diagnosis. That's what they're looking for on these audits is did the physician provide documentation of how they came to that decision that this person has schizophrenia and therefore should have an antipsychotic prescribed for them. And they have standards in their own minds that are not written down anyplace that they are expecting a documentation to meet. So I think that's where the education comes in. Okay, this is what we expect to see to support a diagnosis of schizophrenia that the physician should or the nurse practitioner should be entering.
Hmm. Just assuming that they are prescribing these drugs in order to sedate people, why do they have to do antipsychotics? Do you understand, Pete Van Runkle, why that is? Why couldn't it be, I don't know, I'm not a pharmacologist, but trazodone versus an antipsychotic drug, some kind of anxiety drug, you know, milder. Why does it have to be something so extreme?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. And we're getting into, and I'm not a clinician either. So we're getting into the realm of, you know, medical practice. And ideally they are supposed to be looking for the physician or the nurse practitioner is supposed to be looking for the best medication for that particular person, I mean, that patient. Whatever is appropriate for them to get relief from the symptoms that they're showing, you know, that they're agitated, that they're upset, that they're, you know, experiencing hallucinations, whatever it may be. You know, there are, as you said, a variety of things that could be used. So in the appropriate practice, they should be looking at, you know, what is the appropriate remedy for this person.
Yeah, Shekinah, I mean, I go back to you again. What does your research tell you about? You're saying it just might be the history of nursing homes.
Yeah, that's one of my hypotheses at the moment. But I would say the other thing is, you know, sort of thinking about the symptoms that clinicians are probably looking for. We do know from some of this research, especially in dementia populations and in certain types of dementia, that there are very similar symptoms from delusions to hallucinations. Those are common in certain types of dementia. And so I can imagine, and I haven't necessarily seen this for myself or talked to a clinician about it, but I can imagine this misdiagnosis of schizophrenia being legitimate and happening because of some of those symptoms that are presenting. But that doesn't stop the fact that the FDA has already put out 2 black box warnings of using antipsychotics with residents with dementia. So there should still be other measures and steps taken before we get to antipsychotic use.
The need for the sedation has been part of it has been associated with staffing shortages, Pete Van Runkle. That's a chronic problem, especially in lower income nursing homes with a higher rate of Medicaid funded residents. What about the staffing shortages and how does this system and how does the industry turn that around?
Well, that is a fundamental question that we're dealing with right now, and really have been dealing with for about the last couple of years. It was the staffing situation was getting worse prior to COVID. Our unemployment rate in Ohio and across the country was quite low, and providers were sharing that they were having difficulties getting staff and increasing their use of agency, which no one thinks is a good idea, an ideal situation.
Like temps, that kind of thing. Yeah,
right, temporary staff. Prior to COVID, and then COVID just exacerbated things significantly, which is true across the economy, but it's particularly true in long-term care. We've seen a lot of data showing how many jobs have been lost in long-term care. So that staffing situation is really a problem. It has a lot of a lot of ramifications to it, but one of the things that we're focused on and will be throughout the budget process that kind of just started yesterday, mm-hmm. With the governor's State of the State address is, we need to look at the funding that is provided to skilled nursing facilities and frankly, other types of long-term services and supports providers. Does it enable them to pay the wages that are needed to recruit staff? Because the competition is fierce. And wages are going up all over the place. They need to go up in long-term services and supports as well.
Peter Van Runkle's executive director of the Ohio Healthcare Association, which represents more than 1,300 long-term care facilities in Ohio. Pete Van Runkle, thanks so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Shekinah Fashaw-Walters is an assistant professor in the School of Public Health at the University of Minnesota, where she studies the use of antipsychotics and the disproportionate impact on people of color. Thanks so much for your time. This has been All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.